major battle has begun for a city in Iraq, and that's where we begin today's show. I'm Carl Azus. Thank you for watching. Fallujah is located in central Iraq, along the banks of the Euphrates River. It's been controlled by the ISIS terrorist group since early 2014. In fact, it was the first Iraqi city that ISIS captured as part of its plan to create its own Islamic state in Iraq and Syria. The fight to take Fallujah back involves Iraqi troops, police, and militias, and they're supported by U.S.-led airstrikes. But trapped in the crossfire between these forces and the ISIS fighters who control the city, an estimated 10,000 civilian families, according to the United Nations. The Iraqi Air Force dropped leaflets on the city, telling residents how they can get out safely. But activists in the area say ISIS is not allowing civilians to go and that some have died trying to leave. Fallujah is where dozens of U.S. troops were killed during the Iraq War in 2004. It's a strategic city that's no stranger to terrorists or violence.
Fallujah has a long history of bloody battles. It's considered a hotbed of Sunni insurgent groups. This was the first city to fall to ISIS months before any other city in Iraq in January of 2014. Extremist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Iraq before that used Fallujah as a symbol of Sunni resistance. Now, for the Shias of Iraq, many of them feel that a lot of the terrorist attacks that target them, whether it's ISIS or Al-Qaeda in Iraq before that, those attacks they feel stem from Fallujah, especially with its proximity to Baghdad. So they really have wanted to see ISIS cleared out of that city for a very long time. Now, with this new offensive underway right now, it's expected to last a very long time and expected to be bloody if history is anything to go by. Here, what remains a major issue is the civilians who may still be trapped inside that city.
The head of security for the U.S. Transportation Security Administration has lost his job. A House of Representatives committee announced the change earlier this week. It followed a congressional hearing on mismanagement at the TSA. The organization's in charge of screening passengers and cargo at airports across the U.S. But the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees the TSA, says it's had a number of security failures recently, and some have swelled long lines at airport checkpoints, causing hundreds of passengers to miss their flights. The TSA says Kelly Hogan wasn't fired specifically for doing anything wrong, but that the agency wanted a different approach to security leadership. It's saying that a number of management changes are ahead, and that they'll deliver better leadership and screening operations at American airports. Starting in Brazil on today's Call of the Roll, the nation has 26 states, and in the northeast state of Ceará, hello to all of our viewers at Escola de Ensino Medio Liceo do Crato. San Juan Hills High School is next. From the U.S. state of California, the Stallions are roaming in San Juan Capistrano. And one state over in Arizona, we've got some Wolverines watching today. Mountain Vista Middle School rounds out our roll from Santan Valley. The Walkman, the floppy disk, the dot matrix printer, and the VHS, the video home system. These are some of the inventions of the 1970s that have become obsolete with the passage of time and the progress of technology. But there are some designs of the disco era that we can't imagine living without. Email, the first video game, cell phones, and one thing that doesn't get a lot of credit but has revolutionized shopping, the barcode.
On June 26, 1974, a pack of Juicy Fruit gum made history when it was the first item to ever be scanned via a state-of-the-art technology, the barcode. And now, more than 40 years later, 5 billion barcodes are scanned every day across the world. The code itself, you know, those black lines of varying width on the label, was inspired by Morse code. But the holy smokes component of the innovation was how it was scanned by lasers. Lasers had been the stuff of nerd fantasies until the early 1960s, when the Hughes Aircraft Company unveiled the first one at a press conference. A Los Angeles newspaper reported the story underneath the headline, LA Man Discovers Science Fiction Death Ray. But the fact of the matter is, no one knew what to do with that new technology until that June morning in 1974, when a pack of juicy fruit gum in Ohio changed the world. Today, barcodes are the unsung heroes that make everything from shipping to boarding an airplane to keeping track of medication possible. But the biggest beneficiary is retail. Think about a grocery store from yesteryear. Every individual item had to be marked with its price, and the cashier had to manually input it into the register. So thanks to the barcode, you're waiting in the checkout line a whole lot less. And the stores themselves have benefited big time. The barcodes allowed them to keep accurate real-time inventory. That's a major advance in efficiency, even if it costs some grocery staff their jobs.
For about 20 people who live in a housing project in Richmond, Virginia, Craig Dodson has become a sort of father figure. The 37-year-old leads a nonprofit organization called Richmond Cycling Corps. It allows young people whose opportunities are extremely limited and whose schools are some of the lowest performing to join cycling teams and to train to ride. The lessons and the benefits go far beyond the bike trails.
All right, come on back, guys. Rows of five.
But the thing is for you, you got to get in the woods early and then settle into your rhythm. You know what I mean? Stay positive. Run, run, run. There you go. That's how it's done.
All during the race, you see our kids are going through this roller coaster of emotion.
Come on, Jay. I know you fell, dude, but you got this.
What a lot of people can't see is that our kids have the equivalent of 10 suitcases each of baggage that they're carrying on that bike. The kids live in Richmond, public housing. It's not just bad because of drugs, violence, guns.
I gotta swerve. Goodbye.
You gotta swerve. You gotta tighten up, man. I'm not playing with you right now, man. I'm being serious. You're clowning way too hard. That's why we've been on you so hard. Matt's gonna be here in the morning to pick you up. We're tired of getting messages from everyone that you're ducking school. It's gotta stop or you're gonna fail ninth grade.
Grab you, Antonio.
Our organization is not about giving kids positive life experiences through bikes. Our job is to get them out of public housing.
Bad news is, he got a little suspension. So we could pick him up in the morning this week, put him to work at least.
This is a war to me.
What time do you wake up?
It's me against the circumstances that these kids live in.
I was going to let you off the chain, man.
You come in and hold them accountable. And it shows a level of care that they're not used to.
Craig, you told me a lot. You told me to be your own person. Like, don't be what you live around. You never give up.
So proud of you, man.
We see the side of these kids that is, it's genius. There's so many things that we wish the world could see. These are kids that have been let down.
Jazz, we'll pick you up tomorrow around the same time, alright?
My promise to them is, I'm not going to leave you.
Good job, brother. Alright, I'll see you Thursday.
Those of you who are not Star Wars fans are going to see this and think, okay, well, loud sliding door. Those of you who are Star Wars fans might hear it and think... So again, the R2-D2 screaming door. Maybe the laughter's not as infectious as the viral Chewbacca mask video, but it certainly made some folks Chewbacca up to hear it again, thinking it was R2-D2 good to skywalk through just Obi-Wan time. That's it for today's Pun Solo. It's part of my Jabba. And for putting up with them, you're the best. CNN Student News will catch you later.